Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good glorious morning from Jerusalem. My name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. This is indeed my last show of the year, the only year that counts, the Jewish year. And tomorrow night, we stand together, shoulder to shoulder, heartbeat to heartbeat. No physical masks, only the spiritual connectedness of standing together at the foot of the mountain, praying, waiting, dreaming, and expecting his blessings. So first of all, let me say good night, good morning to my friends in the States. It is very late. I hope you're having a nice glass of wine as you're listening to this show. No caffeine in the U.S. and Canada, of course. Boker Tov, Eretz Israel. Hi, good morning in the U.K. Germany's listening in today. Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, St. Kitts and Nevis. Wow, that's a treat. Okay. Chat room is open. Drop me a note. Let me know where you're listening in from. No need to call in. Actually, don't have time to chat with anybody today. And of course, you can always drop me a note after the show during the week at Andrea@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com and yell at me, hug me, ask me to repeat something or to source you of what we're talking about. So as I said, this is the last show of the year. Very important. Was very nervous preparing for this show because we need to get off on the right foot, the good foot, and hopefully we will together, even that only the few millions that are listening to the podcast this morning, if we can all get into the right moral headspace as we announce our re-upping, our recontracting for the year ahead, we can make phenomenal changes, nutritious changes, and indeed the most glorious spiritual changes in a world that seems to be weighted down and sinking in pain. My name is Andrea Simintov, and we're going to speak on the other side.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Hold on a second. Let me just say, it's crazy. I'm just looking up something. There's a prayer I wanted to share with you, a beautiful prayer. And very, very aware of the universality of this show, the broad carpet of the human existence that this, you know, comprises this listenership. And very grateful, very humble this morning, very almost shaky. Shaky with gratitude and the awesomeness of the responsibility that sharing airwaves and sharing dialogue comes. You know, we're not creatures. We are indeed. That's not true. We are creatures of habit, but we have controls, and we don't operate merely on instinct like the lesser created creatures. You know, a wolf. I just read this Jody Picoult book about wolves. It was staggering. I mean, the research, you know, wolves, they're so brilliant, and yet they're still wolves, meaning the pack wolf, the head of the pack, has instinctually within its DNA behaviors that it must follow in terms of procreation, in terms of killing, in terms of hierarchy, creating a caste system. But it can't step outside of that and say, you know, your attitude hasn't been up to it lately. You get to the back, you step to the front. No, only human beings can wrestle and impose that which comes upon, you know, comes about from the ability to reason and exercise common sense. You know, I'm looking around at my beautiful small home today. It's beautiful. Oh, it's so shabby. By some standards, it's so terribly shabby. Holes in the wall that I patch up and I put artwork over, carpeting that's threadbare. Oh, but it was so painfully purchased, painstakingly purchased when I didn't have a penny. And everything represents caring, commitment, involvement, investment, not financial investment. That's the easy crap. But the investment of connecting to one another. I'm grateful this morning. My children, flung to all corners of the world, they're safe. They're well. My mother is 91 years old and we can still laugh together. She's alive and you know what? She's safe. My husband, I hope, is secure in the knowledge that I am concerned with his constant well-being. I'm grateful, deeply grateful, not to forget that I've been blessed with partnership. I'm one half of a terribly flawed, but terribly devoted team. This is nothing that gets blown off into the wind. There's so much darkness in this world, but we have choices. We have the choice to be upbeat, to be happy, to be with it. Okay, a lot of thoughts this morning. I hope that the engineer will indeed keep me on time. Hello, engineer, because I will. Let's just say, oh my gosh, I've gone crazy. All right. A lot of talk in this house. We're about to come into a shutdown here in Israel. All of Israel. Our numbers are staggeringly. We were the light to the coronavirus world. Our numbers were so low. Our numbers were people wanted to be us. And wow, wow, what a little bit of neglect has done. We are at the top of the ugly list, the top of the dying list. We're talking, of course, per capita, according to our population. And suddenly, it really begs the question, who have we become, all of us? We're in a lockdown now. We're starting tomorrow at 2 o'clock in Israel, 2 o'clock, and we will be entering a lockdown, meaning no public gathering, the synagogues for the advent of Rosh Hashanah. I don't even know what the numbers are. You can look at the newspapers, Ynet, J Post, all of them, Times of Israel. They'll tell you what the numbers are, 20 in the synagogue, 20 outside, 10 inside, 20 outside. I don't know. We haven't been out. My husband, who's a 3 times a day prayer, 3 times a day with a quorum of men prayer, has not been to synagogue in 6 months. People first. I hear everybody saying, yeah, but you know what? We're going out. This lockdown won't work. This is a terrible thing. It's the others pointing fingers, pointing fingers, pointing fingers. My friends, who have we begun? Who have we become? Have we abdicated all pretenses of humanity, what we are special? Have we become so disconnected by social distancing that we can no longer intuit the heartbeats and the frailties of one another? Or, as may be the fact, curious about your opinion, has social distancing itself revealed the ugly truth of our innate coldness and disregard of the common human experience? Does a rush on toilet paper and Alcogel in the supermarket mean that we're now cleaner inside? Or does it highlight our need to sterilize the messiness of our human disconnect? Again, I'm asking you, what has happened? while so many of us are zealously protecting our rapidly, indeed evaporating, way of life, we're bulldozing the sanctity of life. I'm thinking about communities that are close to my heart, religiously Jewish communities that j'accuse. You're filling your classrooms and infecting the children and saying it doesn't apply to us. It's a secular disease. It's not a disease. It's a disease for the godless. No, it's not. Life, all life is sacred, always sacred, and it's not ours to play roulette with, fast, furious, as though we're in some kind of a drunken casino. It's not a secret that there are many among us who valiantly defend the viability of an unborn fetus, that raw, mysteriously, indeed, that magical potential future person that was planted, either lovingly planned or accidentally planted. And you know what? I'm unapologetically one of those people. However, I maintain that because I'm one of those people, I have an obligation to place that awe-infused gaze with equal humility toward the elderly, the infirm, the mentally challenged, the uninspired, the achingly ordinary in a rock star universe. I am not allowed to choose, and I will not choose. That's God's arena. I will not discriminate between his children, but instead embrace the holiness of my brother, because I am holy. You are holy. We are created in his image of all that we can be and all that we were charged with pursuing. This is why I'm feeling angry this morning. I'm having anger, and I don't do well with anger. I don't like anger. I don't do anger. I'm confused this morning and terribly, terribly frightened as this year closes its doors and we face what is to us a blank page of the year 5781. We're in lockdown. A lockdown that has been foisted upon us initially by a virus so virulent that we were caught with our pants down and our hands in the cookie jar. A virus so insidious that while we were vacationing and redecorating and popcorn munching and filling out college applications, that body-snatching invasion was traversing the oceans with an invisible fury. Yeah, this is when we were innocent. Our hands were clean. But then we knew. We knew that it spread. We knew that cleanliness was paramount. We knew that masks worked. We knew that partying and weddying without them didn't. But we were cocky, defiant, in a universe suddenly populated with arrogant, smarter than the next guy pundits. The rules apply to others, but not to me of my personal Dalit Amos, the four walls that I so scrupulously defend. This week, I listened to neighbors and friends discuss this upcoming three-week lockdown as though it's a home vacation with elastic borders that are void of the spirit of national hope for healing. This 500-meter rule was designed to allow us to fill prescriptions and buy some fruit. It was not designed to fill our tables with celebrants or have barbecues in the backyards of those who live near enough to us. Is that a scavenger hunt or a garden maze to be negotiated, traversed, or just endured? If anything was accidentally designed to be humbling, instigate self-reflection and better prayer, it's the upcoming 3 weeks. of potential healing. However, when those around us are breaking their imagination jars to make them as creatively people-filled as possible, not only is the point lost, lives will continue to extinguish because we're just not getting it. Because we're in isolation, not just from one another, we're isolated from our own respective holiness. People first, the key, the ticket, the hard-earned ability to say, I don't know, and in this expression, know less and embrace more. See you on the other side.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair. IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Here we go. All right. Just looking. I can't find my... This is so big. The window's big. Okie doke. We'll deal with that later. Here we go. Old story. Went crazy this week for you. Some of you listening in will know this story. There's 100 variations of this story. But I'm going to try this one. For those who know it, you'll hear it again. And those who haven't heard it before, I hope it will mean as much to you as it does to me. Because again, I'm thinking to myself, the Yomim Noharim close, these days of awe, they close, and I always have these few moments of remorse where I think to myself, I didn't pray hard enough. Oh, I forgot to say this. Oh, I didn't ask that. You know, so many of us get frightened when we go into synagogue. And I'm not going to synagogue this year, but we go into our respective areas of prayer and we say, who am I to pray? I've been so terrible. You know, I really broke. Oh my gosh. I broke more commandments than there are commandments. How do I have the chutzpah, the unmitigated nerve to pray? And yet, that's how much we're loved. You know, a child can misbehave. And it's still our child. A child can disappoint. But we don't want our child to hide from us forever because our child, we don't want our children to have low self-images because we know what kind of an adult we'll be sending in. We ache that our children, at least those of us who are remotely healthy, we want our children to have good self-images, good senses of community. So we don't want them to wallow in pain. Well, neither does our God. So when we sit there and we think, my song is louder, my song is happier, my prayers are more intense, I'm a better prayer, we're not getting it. The prayers are what comes pouring out of our hearts, even if we're not so good at that mitzvah thing. So here's a story I want to share. The story is called The Shepherd and His Flute, and there's variations. There's the shepherd and his tooting, the shepherd and his song, the shepherd and his cartwheels. It's always a shepherd for some reason in Jewish lore. And it's a story of the Baal Shem Tov, the master of the good name. And this was the founder of Hasidus, the Hasidic movement. All right. Long ago in a small shtetl, which is a little town in the Ukraine, there was a famous rabbi, the Baal Shem Tov, and he lived with his family of scholars. I'm going to read fast today. The father of the family, Moshe, was the son and grandson of a very respected Rebbe, and he himself was a teacher of Talmud and Torah, and the mother, Rachel, was the daughter and granddaughter of very respected rabbis, a real yichus, we say in Hebrew. The many women of her time didn't know how to read or study Torah. Rachel did, and she shared her knowledge with other women, and she studied. Their home was filled with joy, full of learning, full of conversation, full of exploration. The kids were fabulous. I'm really ad-libbing a chord here. When the eldest, Meir, was 6 years old, it was time for him to go to Cheder, the Jewish school of learning for boys, to read and write. He said goodbye to his parents and his younger brothers, and he went off to school eager to learn. It was obvious from the first day this kid was sharp. He would be a brilliant scholar, quick learner, and he was able to assist soon the Rebbe in teaching the other boys. Next came the second son, Menachem, to join his older brother in Cheder. He too said goodbye to his parents and the younger brothers, and he joined his older brother in Cheder. Sure enough, just as everyone expected, he was as sharp as a knife, and he also made his parents, his grandparents, very proud. The third son, Shmuel, he was old enough to join his brothers in Cheder. Oh, Shmuel, he was a wonderful, a sweet boy. But his parents had a suspicion that he wasn't going to have that same Cheder experience as his older brothers did. And sure enough, as it had been obvious, just as Meir and Menachem were going to grow into brilliant scholars, Shmuel didn't have the goods. He wasn't like his brothers. Sound familiar? We know these kids. He couldn't sit. He couldn't learn his letters. He didn't seem to be paying attention the way the other boys did. And he would often get up and walk over to the window, standing longingly outside, looking at the trees and the fields and the clouds. We know what that's called today. We have experts giving out medication and parenting, you know, behavioral charts. Kid was a classic ADHD, okay? But Moshe and Rachel and the Cheder's teachers, they realized that it wasn't the place for him, that he wasn't going to thrive and grow. And indeed, he was going to suffer there. They didn't know what to do because all of the boys in the shtetl in the village went to Cheder, and everyone in their family had always gone to Cheder. But the solution came very quickly to these loving parents, because early in the morning every day, the shtetl shepherd would come by to collect the community's sheep and the goats and the cattle and take them into the meadows and bring them back in the evening. And Moshe and Rachel hadn't noticed it before, but Shmuel, their son, had a special friendship with the shepherd. And he used to rise early every morning to greet the man and walk with him a little bit. Unlike in school, here he was happy. And Moshe and Rachel asked the shepherd if Shmuel could be his apprentice. And the shepherd was thrilled to have the young boy's company and his help. And so, unlike his brothers and everyone else in the family, Shmuel did not go to school. Instead, he spent every day in the fields and the meadows, and he learned how to be a shepherd. He was thrilled to pieces. He loved the animals. He loved being outdoors. He loved being with the shepherd, and he loved learning how to play the flute, which the shepherd had taught him as they sat many hours every day with the flocks of animals. Shmuel always felt that he was praying when he played his flute. It brought him to a level of holiness. You know, in time, the two other brothers, Simcha and Yitzchak, they were also old enough to go to Cheder, and they joined their older brothers, and it looked like they would also be scholars. But their parents worried about Shmuel, what would be? And the boys grew up, and they reached their bar mitzvah, and Meir, Menachem, Simcha, and Yitzchak, they all led the prayers in the congregation on their respective bar mitzvahs. Shmuel didn't, but instead, he quietly celebrated his bar mitzvah, playing the flute in the fields. For him, playing the flute was prayer. He always felt that he was talking with God as he played his quiet tunes. And you know, when he was about 15 years old, 14, the old shepherd decided it was time for him to stop going to the fields with the flocks. And Shmuel became the official shepherd for the village. It was bittersweet, of course, for his parents, because, and they were proud of their son, but it was not what they would have dreamed for one of their children. Now, all of these years, there were 2 days every year when Shmuel would take the flocks, wouldn't take the flocks to the field, on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. In those days, he would join his grandfathers and his father and his brothers in the synagogue, where everybody would gather to join the Baal Shem Tov in the holiday prayers. Every year, Shmuel sat quietly, unable to speak the words of the prayers, unable to read the Hebrew. But he loved the melodies of the community praying around him. But as the years passed, he felt sad because he couldn't join in. And one year on Rosh Hashanah, Shmuel was sitting with his family, as usual, in the midst of the prayers, and he happened to look up at the Baal Shem Tov. As the prayers were being sung all around him, all about him, Shmuel, again, he longed to join in. He noticed that the Baal Shem Tov seemed to look concerned. Shmuel sat and wondered what he could do to add his voice to the prayers of the community. His hand went to his food in his pocket. "We're not allowed to play musical instruments on Yom Tov." But at once it was obvious to Shmuel how he could join in. He pulled out his flute and he began to play a beautiful melody that wove harmoniously with the prayers of the congregation. He played with all his heart and all his soul, so happy to finally have found a way to participate in the community. But the community stopped their praying, and a sound of shock, a communal gasp, gripped the Beit Knesset. Suddenly the men were shouting at Shmuel to stop, shouting at Moshe, Shmuel's father, to stop him, shouting at the Baal Shem Tov to stop him. Moshe rose to reach out and grab Shmuel's flute, but the Baal Shem Tov reached them first, and putting his hands on both Moshe and Shmuel's shoulders, the Baal Shem Tov said, "Finally, our prayers will truly reach heaven as a full community because Shmuel has joined us in tefillah, in prayer, with the purest love, with the purest joy, with the purest devotion. We needed his voice in order for God to hear all of us." That is how he prays. And though it is different from our prayers, it is wonderful. My friends, in the Holy Temple, they burned an incense. I don't have it listed in front of me. The elements of the incense, it was frankincense and myrrh and cinnamon and turmeric and all these beautiful fragrances. But there was also a terrible fragrance. It translates into English as galbanum. And apparently by itself, it could actually cause a woman to miscarriage. The smell was so vile. And yet, in its proper amount, it was necessary to burn it with the other fragrances, because the beautiful fragrances alone did not create a fitting aroma for the holy Beis HaMikdash, holy temple. It all had to be included, because without the prayers of those who are struggling, without the prayers who don't know yet, without the prayers of those in pain and those who are defiant and those who are angry, our prayers mean nothing. My name is Andrea. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel?
Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Thank you.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We're standing together tomorrow night, Shabbos, where we don't hear the shofar. And then Motzi Shabbos, Saturday night. And Sunday, we gather for the second day, all of us together. And in the days leading up to the Yomim Noharim, we wait, we listen. And it's the most unifying, most incredible sound. And when really taken in, it reaches us to the essence of our Jewish beings. Thank you, Ronnie. That was from my husband, who has been blowing the shofar regularly every morning in these days leading up. And as my children used to sing, open, open up the gates of heaven. Let me in to serve Hashem. Open up the gates of heaven. Let me in to serve Hashem. Oh my. On Rosh Hashanah, we stand in judgment before our Creator. But it doesn't have to be frightening. The non-Jewish, the Christian concept of the fires of hell, dismiss it. It's not ours. I'm on a diet that we say NMF. It's not my food. NMF. It's not my faith. We're loved. We're loved in our frailties. We're loved in our imperfection because we are lovable. We're lovable as we stand in judgment before our Creator. But you know what? We're not just passive defendants standing in this dock awaiting verdict on our trial. No, not the Jewish concept. Shake it out of your mind. Shake it out of your narrative. Instead, we're given the liberty to submit requests, suggestions, and sometimes even demands to our heavenly judge. Of course, we're going to pray. We pray for life. We pray for health. Yes, pray for prosperity. And at the same time, pray for wisdom. Pray for the safety, the wisdom, the wholeness, and the confidence of your family. Let's pray for national stability. Let's pray for redemption, for peace, for serenity. Someone sent me a note. I pray that in the year ahead, you have a quiet heart. If that isn't epic. It's an impressive list of requests we've got. I don't know about you. Mine's very long. Okay. Mine's long as my hips are wide, you know? But it's part of the ethos of Judaism, part of who we are, that such requests are allowed. You know what? These requests are encouraged. All of these people that are nervous, we don't really mean that we're the chosen people. Like, we're not elitists. No, we are chosen. We're chosen for partnership. We're chosen for interaction. We're chosen to wrestle. Whether it be Avraham Avinu, our father Abraham, who has a whole negotiating thing going on with God. But if there are 100 holy men, if there are 50 holy men of this 7, will you save Sodom for 10? What a chutzpah. Yes, what a chutzpah. Tevye the milkman does the same. I'll do this if you'll do that, and you'll do that, and I'll do this. This kind of negotiating illustrates our dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, and our inability to have hope and direction and planning in our lives without the assistance of heaven. Oh, these doors of heaven and gates of repentance, they are wide open for us to run in on these holy days. Take advantage. Put on your running shoes. Get on those Reeboks. Do they make Reeboks anymore? You know, it would be foolish, crazy to be standing in a parking lot talking about this one's dress and that one's hat and how much your accountant takes for. Who cares? the entire world, the entire future, your entire wholeness is dependent upon you at this time. Don't waste it. Indeed, I know what you'll fight with me about. Yeah, but like I prayed really hard, and look what happened to me. I got screwed over. You know, the results of Rosh Hashanah, they're not immediately clear. They're not present. But as my listener Larry pointed out, it's time to be optimistic. The day is celebrated in a holiday mode. There's nothing bleak about Rosh Hashanah. We connect. Those of us who are in lockdown are going to make our phone calls. We're going to bring the traditions of our extended family to our quiet, humble tables, even though those we love are not around us. Some we love are no longer with us on this, in this earthly journey. But it's our connection with eternity and with forever on Rosh Hashanah that affords us this an ability to transform, especially during days of terrible tension and days of uncertainty. But you know what? It's a two-way street, according to Rabbi Beryl Wine. It's not only our turn to ask God for our wishes, but you know what? You're not exempt. God, in a way, lets us know what he wants and what requires from us. Nowhere is the word perfection listed. Judaism is a religion of mutually binding mitzvot, covenants between Hashem and the Jewish people, both collectively as a people. I am my brother's keeper, and indeed individually. The rabbis teach us first and foremost that God wants our hearts. He wants our sincerity. He wants our faith, even faltering faith, shaky faith. Our belief and our discipline, our strength of character, and our goodwill. God knows it's there. You know why? Because God put it there. We have good character. We have goodwill. We have to exercise it. We have to dig it up. We have to find it. God does abhor falsehood and hypocrisy. The prophets teach us that the God desires that we act justly, love kindness, show mercy, and walk humbly in God's ways. He demands, God demands that we live up to our end of the covenant, that we observe his commandments, sanctify his holy days, appreciate, revere, and honor the Shabbat, the Sabbath, by our behavior and our demeanors. Does it mean we have to get it perfect? I don't know. I'm not at God's right hand. But I'm reading into it that what God is demanding is that we stay in the game. That we don't walk parallel to our assignments and say it has nothing to do with me. To participate wholly and perhaps flawed. Wholly and perhaps with questions. Holy and not certain of our worthiness. God wants us to share this view, so to speak, of the Jewish people as being royalty, being a kingdom of priests, being a holy nation, a treasure, indeed, a treasure among the peoples of the world, regardless of how ugly our occasional appearances tend to be in media headlines. God also wants us to realize that every one of us is special, and we're not a faceless number in a world of billions. That is why to accept herd mentality process during COVID is so antithetical to Jewish being in Jewish thought. It's all about the people, baby. God invites us to judge ourselves in conjunction with the heavenly court. We say in our prayers, every person's signature appears on the verdict of the heavenly court. We're equal partners with God in heaven in our judgment and in the outcome. We don't wring our hands and say, I hope it's okay. We know it's okay. Because the ink on our submission is still wet. Standing at the foot of the mountain, my friends, we're being handed a renewal contract. It's not an absentee ballot, as some of us in Israel are beginning to receive. It's a new contract. A new contract with clauses, many of them the same old. A lot of us, me included, are grateful that we've been kept on staff, even though we hadn't exactly honored the first agreement, nor the one the year before that. This contract that I'm holding in my fingers says explicitly that now is our time to parent fully, to be a better partner to our spouse. It is a time now to love our most difficult child, to our distant sibling, without condition. Now is the time to rail, to fight, to live our trust, keep our morality, regardless of whomever is in office. And when our earthly days come to an end, we will be in a position to pass that torch to those we leave behind. It's a torch that's been guarded, cherished, revered. Shabbat Shalom and Shana Tova Umituka.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.